Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. And today on the docket, one thing, Amber Geiger's trial, where she is charged with first-degree murder of Botham Jean. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. Thank you for tuning into our channel. We appreciate you watching. If you like the channel, please subscribe. If you like the video, hit that like button. If you want to be notified of future live broadcasts or new content that we put up, hit that little bell so you'll receive that notification. Today on the docket, Amber Geiger's case. It started on Monday. Jury selection was completed late last week. We have put up live testimony throughout this trial. So if you have any questions about what was said, don't rely upon what I'm saying, although I'm going to do my best to get it absolutely correct. You can go back and watch the video of these witnesses testify. You can judge their demeanor on their stand, their ability to recall, the ability to recollect. Those are the things that jurors are instructed to consider when judging the credibility of any witness in the case. Now, first, this case had, obviously like all cases, an opening statement, okay? An opening statement is supposed to be a roadmap of what evidence the sides anticipate that they're going to see. The prosecution's roadmap in this particular case was the standard roadmap. We're going to call this witness, and this is what you're going to see. And at the end, you're going to conclude that Amber Geiger is guilty of murder. The defense, and I'm not trying to sound critical of him because he knows his case better than we all do, but from my perspective, it sounded more like a closing argument, okay? When I do an opening statement, I like to be brief. I don't want to make promises about things that I may not be able to guarantee in the trial, because if I don't produce on those promises, it goes against me and ultimately could be held against my client. Now, in this particular case, the defense attorney for Ms. Geiger gave a very passionate and was trying to explain how busy she was and how stressed she was and how stressful it was. And, you know, at one point I said, the defense attorney stated that Amber Geiger had worked 40 hours within 4 days. You know, and my first thought was, is that all? Okay, not that big a deal. It's not like she's, you know, in a combat zone constantly having somebody shooting at her. Yes, it's dangerous. She's a police officer. I get it. But really, that's what people do when they become police officers. If she's volunteering for this unit that's providing coverage to the SWAT team, she's signing up for the action. She wants that intensity. She wants that adrenaline rush. Okay, and then her attorney's kind of making this apologetic thing. It was reasonable that she would, you know, see somebody in the apartment, etc. This is not a civil case. This is a criminal case, okay? Either your client didn't do it, or she did do it, she was absolutely justified in doing what she did. Those are the only real options that she has here. It sounded almost like a groveling of don't find her guilty for first-degree murder, find her guilty of a lesser offense. That's my humble opinion. Like I said, when I do an opening, I don't want to make promises, okay? I was given this little statute from the lovely Miss Kristen a while back, and it kind of represents the way I like to practice law, okay? You see a horse, but look at all the little legs underneath, okay? You have to have the element of surprise. Juries want to be excited. They want to know that there is something that the defense has or anticipation. They want to see Perry Mason moments in the courtroom. And the problem with the defense attorney's opening was he tried to make all these excuses of how busy she was and blah, 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 right? And what has the district attorney done throughout this trial? Asked witnesses if, well, were you working that day? Did you work 10 hours that day? Did you have moments of downtime when you're waiting for the detective to process the bad guy before he goes over to the jail? Did you have time to check your phone? Did you have time to unwind? Yes, yes, yes. Basically, completely undermining the defense case right there. Why would you tell them what they're going to hear in that regard. An opening statement is, my client has been wrongfully accused, and you as the jurors have to correct this injustice. I didn't hear that from the defense attorney at all. All right, so let's talk about the witnesses that the prosecution has called, okay? Quick summary. First, Officer Martin Rivera. This is Amber Geiger's partner. They've been romantically involved. They've been sending sexually explicit text messages to each other throughout the day. And she had been on the phone with him and on the way home, and only 3 minutes had gone by since the time she stopped talking to him from the time she goes into Mr. Jean's apartment. He looked a little embarrassed on the stand, a little uneasy, and really, you could tell, just didn't want to be there at all. Alyssa Finley, this is Botham Jean's sister, testified about her brother, how excited he was for his upcoming birthday, and just basically what a great guy. And you think, well, why are they going to call his sister? Well, one of the elements they have to prove is that somebody is now deceased, right? What's the best way to do that? Put a family member up and kind of tell their story. From a defense perspective, it's a little irrelevant, a little prejudicial, but you don't want to look like the guy that's objecting too much for that. Joshua Brown was called. He lived across the hall from Mr. Jean and stated that he heard what sounded like people interacting like they hadn't seen each other in a while or surprised to see each other. And then he heard some shouting. Brown choked up when he was on the witness stand and took a break after testifying. And during this testimony, I believe, is where the judge actually began to, this is where the judge actually became emotional. And if the judge is getting emotional and the witness is getting emotional, I will almost guarantee it. And although the cameras won't show the jury, the jurors were probably getting emotional as well. The beginning of day two of the testimony, there were some exhibits that were shown and some calls that were played. The 911 operator by the name of Carla Rivera called to testify to authenticate various phone calls. Officer Michael Lee showed footage of the struggle getting into the apartment, and basically Geiger runs up to the officers and starts trying to explain to everyone what they did. Was it concern, remorse, the old Shakespearean, thou protest too much? You all will have to decide as jurors in this particular case. And as you can see through these trials, a lot of people think you just have one witness and they just kind of blurt everything out there and, you know, it all just comes together. No, a trial is like putting together a puzzle, a little piece, a little piece. One witness has this little piece, another witness has this little piece. Hopefully you put all the pieces together and you can actually see what the puzzle picture is supposed to be. That's a good way to look at it. If those puzzle pieces aren't completely filled in, then, you know, potentially reasonable doubt. David Armstrong testified. He was a detective who had done some work on the case, but the interesting point that came from this detective was that on cross-examination, he had done a kind of a neighborhood survey, and it was brought out that some 15% of the residents who lived in that same building had gone to the wrong floor and tried to use their key at a different apartment. And 23% of the residents who lived in the same building as Amber Geiger and Botham Jean, either the third or the fourth floor, tried to use their key on the wrong door. So obviously that information, the police had it. It has to be turned over. It was part of their investigation. That's exculpatory information. I always find it interesting when, you know, prosecutors say we're searching for the truth. Well, if we're really on a quest for the truth and all of the information, a good a defense attorney would never have to ask any questions because there wouldn't be any questions to ask. But the fact that the defense had to say, hey, Miss Geiger is not the only one who has ever gotten confused or disoriented when it comes to being in an apartment clearly shows that, you know, it's not really all about a quest for the truth. It's about a quest for winning and losing. And that's the way our adversarial system works. But like I said, I always chuckle when DAs say we're on a quest for the truth. Well, if we are, then let's put it all in there. But they don't. That's why the defense has to ask those questions and bring that out. So that's basically a quick summary of all the witness testimony. It's been a couple of moments where the trial's been delayed as a result of, for example, defense attorneys arguing for a motion for mistrial early on because the prosecutor, a district attorney from the DA's office, gave a statement to the press in light of a gag order. They moved for a motion for mistrial, which means they would have to start all over again. But the judge denied that motion. Interesting. Like I said, judge getting emotional. I've seen jurors cry. I've seen court reporters cry. I don't think I've ever seen a case where the judge cries, at least not in trial. I've seen judges get very emotional at sentencing, but never that way. So we have all of the Amber Geiger trial available to you. It's all there for you to watch. Any one of these witnesses, if you think you want to hear exactly what they want to say. But obviously, some people have made up their minds. Those people wouldn't be on a jury. But if you want to say, hey, let's try to look at this as a juror, I want to reserve judgment until I hear all the evidence in the case. I want to wait till I hear and not make any decisions until and if the case is closed. We haven't heard anything from the defense other than some limited cross-examination. We'll have to see if Ms. Geiger testifies. I think she has to, because remember, what her attorney says in opening statement is not evidence. And so she has to get up and tell her side of the story to make it believable. It will be the testimony of her life, literally. It'll decide whether she goes to prison forever or for a limited period of time or nothing at all. It's going to be a tough decision for the jury. This is not an easy case. It's not so slam dunk one way or the other. Yes, you think, how could somebody walk into an apartment? Why would she immediately shoot? Why didn't she retreat? Why didn't she turn on the light? Why didn't she do something to do that before firing a weapon? Then on the other hand, maybe you're having a long day. Maybe it's busy. Maybe you're not paying attention. Maybe she's thinking about all her sexting that she's doing with her partner. Who knows what goes through people's minds? Who knows exactly what's going through the jurors' minds? Remember, they can't talk about this case either, but we can. If you want to kind of play along as a juror, encourage you to do so. Tell me at the end of the trial what you would have done once you hear all the evidence in the case. If you've already made up your mind, or you have a comment about a juror or a witness or how things are progressing, or frankly, you agree or disagree, tell me about it in the comments. We want to hear about it. All right? I don't know about you, but that's a lot of talking today. Thank goodness I have my Crime Talk mug to wet my palate. If you'd like to get one of your Crime Talk mugs or t-shirts or other gear, hit the link below and order one and then send me a photo and we'll put it up as a mugshot. Thanks for watching. Have a great day and hope you're enjoying watching the Amber Geiger trial.